The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Pepsi Pledges $200,000 in Donations and Scholarships for Mary J. Blige's Strength of a Woman Festival. Taken from BlackEnterprise.com. Mary J. Blige's Strength of a Woman Festival will again descend upon Atlanta, and Pepsi is set to return as a brand partner in a major way. During Mother's Day weekend, Blige and Pepsi will co-present the second annual festival and summit to empower women to create opportunities for connection and growth within the Atlanta community and beyond, including a scholarship for one HBCU student awarded later in the year. The whole mission of this festival is to celebrate and advocate for Black women, said the queen of hip-hop and R&B. So to have Pepsi show up and show out in the way they do is overwhelming. With their support for Strength of a Woman Festival and Summit, we are able to pay it forward in so many impactful ways and to be able to grant an HBCU scholarship for a deserving student is nothing short of incredible. This year, an extra day of programming takes the exciting weekend to the next level, allowing more time for attendees to connect and network. Among the new moves will be Pepsi's Dig In, designed to drive access, business growth, and awareness for Black-owned businesses, offering complimentary food from several Atlanta restaurants, including Miss Icy's Kitchen, Gocha's Breakfast Bar, Twisted Soul, and Local Green Atlanta. PepsiCo will donate $200,000 to drive long-lasting change for women in need in the Atlanta area and beyond. The funding will also aid local organizations that align with the summit's programmatic pillars, according to the official press release. The Strength of a Woman Festival and Summit has proven to be a powerful platform for Pepsi and its brands to create opportunities that bring long-lasting change to amplify and elevate women. This year, with even more events for fans to experience, we want to recognize, celebrate, and support the voices of the community. From the incredible on-stage talent, including the iconic Mary J. Blige, to the on-the-ground local restaurateurs and entrepreneurs whose vision and passion inspires others, said Kent Montgomery, Senior Vice President, Industry Relations and Multicultural Development, PepsiCo. The next article is titled, Black Women in Hollywood, the 2023 Honorees. For 16 years, Essence has shown a light on the Black women actors, directors, producers, screenwriters, and showrunners whose work encompasses the breadth and depth of our lived experiences. This year, we continue that legacy by putting an even greater emphasis on those who are calling the shots behind the scenes, both on sets and in boardrooms, while also recognizing those actresses whose remarkable talent has yet to be properly seen by the mainstream. From a seasoned director whose latest work showed Black women across the diaspora the warrior within, to a rising star who wants Black girls to know truth is their ultimate superpower. These are the 2023 Black Women in Hollywood honorees. Gina Prince Bythewood, Gina Prince Bythewood's first entertainment job was as a writer on A Different World, but the screenwriter and director's summoning into the industry came much earlier in life. I feel like my journey began when I saw Claudine, she says. I've never forgotten the way I felt watching it and seeing myself reflected for the first time. I felt like I wanted to give that feeling to other people because I had felt so invisible for so long. The UCLA School of Theater, Film, and Television graduate has done just that. From her 2000 feature directorial debut, Love and Basketball, to 2022's historical epic, The Woman King, within that 22-year span, she's written and or directed just three additional feature films, The Hardest Fight and The Reason Why There's So Much Space Between My Projects is because of the type of stories that I want to tell. And that's centering Black women, she says. This struggle is at the forefront of Prince Bythewood's mind, given the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences' failure to nominate The Woman King in a single category for this year's Oscars. We are the casualties of this system, yet we have to still work within it, she says, but not only operate, we need to find ways to have success. Success for me is to be able to put The Woman King into the world and have it do what we had hoped it would do in terms of inspiring us, allowing us to see ourselves in a way we haven't been able to, and to tell our history the right way. I will never let go of the pride in what we did. Danielle Deadwyler. With Danielle Deadwyler's name currently one of the most buzzed about in Hollywood, the actress adamantly gives credit to the Southern roots that nurtured her talent. My journey as an artist began in Atlanta, Georgia, she says. I have been reared and loved, and my creativity has been fostered by Black women and by Black Southerners and by Black artists of that region. Everything about me has come from that space. Atlanta is where Dead Wiley took her first steps and first stepped foot on a college campus, having attended Spelman College as an undergraduate. It's also where she sharpened her talent on the stage, appearing in local productions of Ntozake Shang's For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide, When the Rainbow Is Enough, and Alliance Theaters, the C.A. Lyons Project, before branching into television and film. Her latest roles, Cuffy in the revisionist Western The Harder They Fall, and Zora in the limited drama series From Scratch, have shown audiences the breadth of Deadwyler's mastery on the screen. But it's her portrayal of Mamie Till Mobley in the Shin-Oni Chukwu directed biographical drama Till that has brought Deadwyler critical acclaim. We both knew we had a great mission, and we took every resource possible and every moment to dig into doing it right, to doing it justice, she says, of her and Chuck Wu's approach to the work. Deadwyler's words are illustrative of the perspective she brings to every project she takes on and of her outlook as an artist overall. Recalling advice given to her by fellow Atlanta actress Andrea Frye, Deadweiler says, "She told me to elevate everything you do. And I think that's something that comes from humanity, that comes from your art practice. You are seeking the best part of yourself and sharing that with people, be it family, strangers, or the larger community. And if you are constantly seeking to do that, then you will always be giving your best self." Dominique Thorne. With just 3 acting credits to her name, Dominique Thorne has already built an enviable resume, having made her feature film debut in Barry Jenkins' If Beale Street Could Talk, with a follow-up role in the biographical drama Judas and the Black Messiah. In 2020, Thorne officially entered the Marvel Cinematic Universe when she was cast as the teen superhero Riri Williams, Ironheart, making her debut as the character last year's Black Panther Wakanda Forever sequel. She admits she took time to consider joining a comic book franchise, the idea of which initially challenged what she had envisioned for her career. What came out of that reflection was how brilliant of an opportunity it could be to have representation in this way and present the truth of a young Black female experience in this setting, at this scale, with these resources and with these individuals pouring into it, she says. The daughter of Trinidadian immigrants, Thorne attended high school at the Professional Performing Arts School in Manhattan, but repressed her desire to act during her college years as she prepared to receive her bachelor's degree in human development from Cornell University in 2019. A professor helped Thorne release what she felt obligated to do professionally, get a stable job, and lean into her true passion. Now on the heels of reprising the role of Riri Williams for the upcoming Disney Plus series Ironheart, the actress says of her career ambitions, "The goal is to get to keep playing roles that are creative and stretch the imagination, but that also show the range that truthfully exists within our expression of Black womanhood and Black girlhood." Tara Duncan. When you look at the slate of programs Tara Duncan has been responsible for over the course of her career, you understand why she considers the best piece of advice she's ever received to be focus on what you like. Those words were spoken to Duncan when she was an assistant building a name for herself in television. The Southern California native is now the president of Freeform and Onyx Collective, and the successes of some of her earliest ventures since she joined Disney General Entertainment in 2020 demonstrate how true that sentiment still rings. Duncan oversaw the cable network's biggest series debut with the launch of Cruel Summer in 2021. The same year Onyx Collective was launched with the specific goal of providing a platform for creators of color and underrepresented communities. 1 year later at the 94th Academy Awards, Amir Questlove Thompson won the Oscar for Best Documentary Feature for Summer of Soul, which streamed on Hulu, the main hub for Onyx content. Having since added the legal drama Reasonable Doubt, the docuseries The Hair Tales, and the 1619 Project to Onyx Collective's program offerings. Duncan is proving narratives that center Black experiences are a sure bet in an industry where many still consider them as a gamble. The former Netflix executive who oversaw such hit series as Orange is the New Black and Narcos now says of her ability to pick a winning story. The secret is there is no secret. I am very fortunate that I've been able to trust my instincts and not be too worried about the outcome. If there's something that really connects with me emotionally and feels like it's honest, I follow that feeling, and so far it's been working. Another power move? Duncan's not afraid to take a loss in the unlikely event that her gut proves wrong. If we are going to fail, she says, then let's fail big. Cheryl Lee Ralph. For more than four decades, Cheryl Lee Ralph has entertained audiences on Broadway, in movie theaters, and in the comfort of their homes with roles on iconic 90s sitcoms like Moesha, on which she portrayed beloved TV mom Dee Mitchell. I was speaking to a young person once, and they said, "Miss Ralph, you have been relevant my whole life," the singer and actress told Essence last year. I thought about that, and I really have to thank God, because being at this time in my life, in my career, the things that I have witnessed as a woman, as an artist, as a Black woman, I am ever so grateful, because I may be bruised and battered, but my position in the war, my position on the front line, has been worth everything. Ralph's role as Dina Jones in the original Dreamgirls in 1981, for which she received a Tony Award nomination for Best Performance by a Leading Actress in a Musical, is cemented in the Broadway canon. And in 2022, Ralph made television history when she became the first Black woman in 35 years to receive the Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series for her role as Barbara Howard in the ABC mockumentary Abbott Elementary. Her rendition of Deanna Reeves' song Endangered Species upon accepting her award led Ralph singing the Black national anthem Lift Every Voice inside the stadium during Super Bowl this year. It was a full circle moment for the former Miss Black Teenage America runner-up, who says performing a song and a monologue during this pageant forever changed the trajectory of her life. Still, had Ralph not answered that call to become an entertainer, she's clear she would have walked in her purpose another way. No matter what I ended up doing, I was going to have a great life, she says. I was going to love my life because I was put here to live life. The next article is titled Glam Fam. Essence staffers share the tips and tricks from family members that keep them feeling good and looking fly. Beauty advice from my cousin. Wash your face with cold ice water to keep your skin tight. Empress Varnado, contributing senior social media producer. The beauty hack given to me by my late mother is to use peppermint tea bags to reduce dark circles and puffiness around my eyes. Allison Brown, Senior Creative Director. My mom said that many products we buy can be substituted. You can mix your favorite foundation with a face lotion to make tinted moisturizer, or use your lipstick as a blush. Sophia Little, Senior Designer. My grandma's secret to looking young: stop caring about others' opinions, drink your water, and moisturize. Chantel Guyton, Director, Strategic Partnerships. My mom told me that all you really need in this life is Vaseline. Tori Jackson, Sales Planner. My great-grandmother put me on to Avon Skin So Soft, and I never looked back. She swears by it to this day. Brianna Savage, Sponsor Activation Manager. My mom taught me that the best skin care is prayer, because it makes your skin glow. She's 100% right. Yasmin Ramos, Supervising Video Producer. My mom introduced me to eye cream and had me wearing eye mask from age 23. No heavy bags here. Dominique Dickerson, Sales Planner. My cousin shared that it's best to moisturize while your skin is still wet after a shower. Shakora Biggs, Sales Coordinator. My granny told me, whatever you do on your face, do on your neck. Paige Johnson, Digital Account Manager. The next article is titled, All About the Girls. We can't wait to see you and your Flossy Posse in New Orleans, outside, embracing the food and culture, living your best lives. Let's be honest, we've been waiting all year for this moment, a treasured break from the day-to-day, a weekend where you fill your cup with real magic, that is us, community and sisterhood, because where would we be if it wasn't for our girls? Essence and Coca-Cola invite you to celebrate your girls. Share a post celebrating your crew with the hashtag, If Not For My Girls. We want to see and celebrate your beautiful faces throughout the weekend on Jumbotron screens, our social media, and more. The next article is about Essence contributors. Myesha Yvonne Gardner, a talented New York City-based photographer and director who is originally from Cleveland, Gardner has produced images that have graced the pages of Vogue, Time, Billboard, and The Atlantic, to name a few outlets. She examines truth and intimacy by documenting and redefining themes of legacy, labor, love, and the perception of beauty within underrepresented communities. For this issue, she expertly captured varying moods of our cover star, Philadelphia Eagles franchise quarterback Jalen Hurts. Dwight Brown, the travel and food writer, has never met a dessert he didn't like. His bylines have appeared in the Chicago Tribune, Black Enterprise, and a range of Gannett newspapers, as well as on Huffington Post. He penned this month's Juneteenth Juice story in our Thrive and Power section. Brown, who loves sharing his numerous adventures and dining experiences with readers, enjoys introducing Black chefs, mixologists, and restaurants around the country to anyone who loves to eat and drink. More about his work can be found at DwightBrownInc.com. Danielle Smith, an award-winning journalist and author of Shine Bright, a very personal history of Black women in pop. Smith is also the creator, host of Black Girl Songbook, a Spotify original podcast featuring Black women in music, a former producer, editor, and writer at ESPN. She was also editor of Billboard and the first woman and first African-American to serve as editor-in-chief of Vibe, described by The New Yorker as one of the nation's most astute chroniclers of pop and hip-hop culture. She crafted the feature, Jalen Hurts Has Touched Down. She lives in Southern California with her husband, Elliot Wilson, and their dog, Key. Felice Leon. In Athena's Baby, Leon, who recently completed a Nieman Fellowship in Journalism at Harvard, speaks with the director of Dear Mama, the FX series exploring the bond between Tupac Shakur and his mother. A video producer, host at The Root, she saw her June 2021 interview with the cast of Lin-Manuel Miranda's In the Heights Go Viral, sparking conversation about colorism in Latinx culture and representation in Hollywood. Her on-air commentary has been featured on MSNBC, ABC, NPR, BET, and other outlets. The next article is titled Editor's Letter. As Denise Williams says in her 1984 hit song, Let's Hear It for the Boy, Essence has always been about serving up all the appeal our fine Black men have to offer. Just flip to the back of the book to revisit our April 2003 cover if you need a sweet reminder. This year is no different. This past February, as I sat down to enjoy the Rihanna Bowl, I found myself unexpectedly rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles, a tough feat for a New York Giants fan. There were two starting Black quarterbacks in the game, but one of them commanded my attention for a few reasons. When Jalen Hurts takes off his helmet, it's hard not to stare, mouth agape. But beyond the fact that he looks so good it hurts, the 24-year-old Houston native is deeply clear about his connection to Black culture and his relationship with Black women. In the article, Jalen Hurts Has Touched Down, my dear friend Danielle Smith talks to the Philly quarterback about how he got to the biggest game day of his life and the Black women who helped him get there and beyond. We also spend time with some dynamic screen kings steaming things up in Hollywood, and we honor iconic men like human rights activist Malcolm X with a deeply personal essay written by his daughter and the brilliant rapper and poet Tupac Shakur through a reflection on his complicated relationship with his mother. And if rapper Jadakiss didn't steal our hearts enough during his epic verses battles, well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.